It's Tuesday, April 14th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. As we track and map out the spread of coronavirus, we're learning that most of the cases in New York actually came from Europe and not China. Early travel restrictions from those coming from China were put in place, but the virus had already spread, making it much more difficult to contain. Carl Zimmer, columnist at the New York Times, joins us for how coronavirus came to New York. Thanks for joining us, Carl.
Thanks for having me.
There's some new research that suggests that the coronavirus that began to circulate in the New York area by mid-February actually came from travelers mainly from Europe, not Asia. These stories about the spread and how this was moving across the country. So a team of scientists got together and were studying the genome and the mutations in the virus. And this is how they were able to figure out that travelers from Europe are bringing it to the United States. And obviously, we know when this first started, the president had closed off travel to people from China, but this is not where it was exactly coming from. Carl, tell us a little bit more about this.
One way that you can study the spread of a virus is to look at where confirmed cases are popping up. But really, that only tells you where somebody has gotten sick enough to be noticed and to be tested to see if they actually have viruses inside of them. And we know that we've missed lots and lots of cases. So what some scientists have done is they've said, okay, let's use the viruses themselves as like a history book, because when viruses copy themselves, they mutate sometimes. So if a virus in England ends up in the United States because they flew over here, you can actually figure out that it started off in a population in England if you have some samples there. And so now scientists have been looking at viruses around New York City, trying to make sense of this terrible, terrible outbreak that's seizing the city. And they're getting some pretty striking results. One of which you mentioned is that the vast majority of the viruses in circulation now, you can trace back to Europe, not to Asia.
Which is interesting because obviously nobody wants to close down, have complete lockdowns and travel restrictions from all over the place. But this kind of seems to make the case that when we were closing travel, it should have been from everywhere at that point, out of an abundance of caution. But we've never been through this before, so it's hard to know exactly how to react to this. So let's start from the beginning, how they are tracking these viral mutations. And the first thing we can do is debunk one of these conspiracy theories that the SARS-CoV-2, the virus that gives people COVID-19, that it came from a lab and was leaked out and something like that. They were actually able to track the genome of the virus and make a clear distinction that it arose in bats.
The wilder conspiracy theories that you see will claim that this was actually a bioweapon, that somehow people created this and then it got out of a lab or something like that. And the real story that is recorded in the genomes of these viruses is a lot more of a familiar story. We've seen this before. We've seen this with SARS. We've seen this with MERS. We've seen it with Ebola. We've seen it with HIV. You have a virus that's in a wild animal, in this case, Chinese horseshoe bats. And, you know, the animal is basically okay with it. And then somehow it comes into contact with humans, and the particular virus strain happens to be pretty good at living inside of humans instead of bats, and then it just takes hold. The closest virus in bats to SARS-CoV-2, which causes COVID-19, is in a Chinese horseshoe bat, but it's pretty far from Wuhan, and also it's somewhat different, which means that maybe it split off from the ancestor of SARS-CoV-2 maybe 40, 50 years ago. So there are probably a lot of viruses floating around in bats right now that are a lot like SARS-CoV-2, which should really concern us because this could happen all over again.
And when did it make its way to New York? Really, what this kind of tells us is there's just this big period of untracked global transmission between late January, mid-February, and all that, and leading into these first cases that we started seeing in New York.
Well, as far as we can tell, this virus spilled over, as scientists say, into humans in China in late 2019. Don't know exactly when. And it was starting to move into other parts of the world no later than January. So then there were a few cases that were starting to pop up in late January, like in Washington State, for example. But these were cases in the United States where you could say, like, okay, this person traveled here, we're isolating them, and they didn't seem to be leading to any community spread. And in New York, we saw a couple of cases like this in February, but it seemed like just a couple people who were sick and had just sort of gotten off a plane. The fact is, we know now from these genomes that at least as early as mid-February, maybe even a little bit earlier, people were flying mainly from Europe, infected with the virus, didn't know it, weren't stopped, weren't tested, and then went about their business. They may have developed mild symptoms or none at all, and they infected other people, and we're dealing now with those consequences.
We're talking about tracking the viral mutations. Some experts caution, though, not to read too much into these mutations themselves. COVID-19 for itself has a relatively slow mutation rate. This is just the way the process that they're using to track it. It's not like it's mutating into something much worse. Although, you know, they say the virus could be seasonal, so who knows what it would look like in the future. But this is just on the tracking front right now.
So viruses all mutate, and most of those mutations are either harmful to the virus itself or have no effect one way or the other. So when you hear about a mutation in a virus, that shouldn't immediately make you think like, oh my gosh, this is a deadly mutant that's going to kill us all. The thing is that as far as scientists can tell, looking at the mutations that are in SARS-CoV-2 right now in the different populations, it's not like evolving into a particularly different form. In fact, it seems to be mutating fairly slowly. So there are slight differences between the viruses in New York and Italy and so on, but they're all pretty much the same, which is great in the sense that that makes making a vaccine a lot easier because a vaccine should be able to handle them all. Some viruses, you actually have to make a vaccine that's like three or more vaccines in one because you're trying to hit all the different strains. That doesn't seem to be the case here. So there's a lot of bad news about COVID-19. Loss of life is terrible. This is a little bit of good news amidst a lot of bad news.
Carl Zimmer, columnist for the New York Times. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been your Daily Coronavirus Update. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.